Hey, I'm Kelsey Zeiser. Welcome to What's the Story, a short podcast from Light Reading, where we take a step back from the most significant topics in telecom to tell you the latest news, how we got here, what it all means, and what to expect next. Today, I'm talking with Light Reading's Ian Morris about why Aramco Digital wants to create what they're calling the Google of the Middle East. We also discuss how they're teaming up with startup Grok to develop AI infrastructure as a service. Welcome back to What's the Story, Ian?
Hi, Kelsey. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah.
Excellent. So you wrote a really interesting piece recently about Aramco Digital and Grok, all these like really cool names.
Yes.
Before we get into what these two interesting named companies are doing, can you tell us a little, maybe start with what Grok does?
Yeah, Grok is, so I'd not heard of Grok before chatting to Aramco Digital, actually. And they, the guys that I met from Aramco Digital in Barcelona recently at Mobile World Congress brought it up. And it's a chip company, but quite an interesting chip company. It's a startup and it's very much going after this whole AI space where there's a lot of activity at the moment, but very much sort of dominated by NVIDIA. And this is a startup, but it's got a really interesting founder. So the guy who runs it is Jonathan Ross, who is the man behind, if you know much about what Google's been doing in the chips area, it's investing in its own chips called Tensor Processing Units, which are also potentially an option for doing sort of AI workloads. And he's the guy who ran that and left and has set up this company called Grok. And the name's really interesting, actually. It's kind of, they're obviously a bit cheeky and like to sort of poke fun at things, but Grok's the word that I'd come across because it's used in a science fiction book by an author called Robert Heinlein, who's a very well-known science fiction writer for anybody who's a fan of science fiction. But he sort of invented this word Grok, which is supposedly a Martian word that means to understand. And it's one of those trendy words that people like Elon Musk and, you know, other people sort of throw around every now and again. But yeah, I'd not heard of the company that sort of based itself on that word before last week. So and they're in the news this week because there's a big show going on in Saudi Arabia at an event called Leap. And they are there and actually talking on stage with Aramco. I think maybe.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah.
So what's the plan? What are Aramco Digital and Grok working on together?
Yeah. So Aramco Digital is a newish unit at Saudi Aramco. Saudi Aramco is like obviously a big sort of energy company from Saudi Arabia. They're known for kind of oil production, really. And they're pretty much the world's biggest company in terms of market cap, other than the tech giants, the likes of Microsoft and Apple. The kind of next one up there is Aramco. They used to be the biggest before the kind of wave of hype about technology that we've had in the last few years. And the reason they're interesting to me is because if you cast your mind back to Rakuten in Japan, the guy who was running the telecom stuff there, both domestically and Symphony, the unit that's selling things to other operators, was a man called Tarek Amin, very kind of high profile figure in the industry, like a good sort of speaker, quite charismatic, you know, drew a lot of attention, I think, for Rakuten. And then he left dramatically last year and everybody's like, oh, what's happened? Why has he left? And you know, the story was it was family reasons and, you know, he wanted to sort of be, you know, closer to his family and, you know, his sort of away. It sounded like he was away from them in Japan anyway, but he's basically gone back to the Middle East. He's from Jordan originally, and then crops up at Aramco. And you're thinking, why is he at Aramco? It's an energy company. But they've set up this new unit called Aramco Digital. And the implication is, are they going to get into, you know, hiring someone like that? They're going to have something to do with telecom. And they haven't said much about it. You know, he's kind of been on LinkedIn, like releasing bits of information here and there. But it's always been a bit unclear exactly what they're trying to do. And I wanted to find out more, so got in touch with him and met him at Mobile World Congress. And unsurprisingly, given that it's Tarek Amin and he's always got a big story to tell, he's very much positioning this as trying to do, I mean, the way he described it was trying to sort of set up a kind of Google for the Middle East. So the idea would be that you, not building data centers, not kind of trying to replicate what Google's done there, but certainly taking a big role in software development and very much on the AI side. with the idea of being a kind of AI facilitator for companies in the region. So trying to, I mean, Saudi Arabia is really kind of keen, as are other countries in the Middle East, on diversifying themselves away from energy, which is what they've kind of made their, you know, their billions on, and trying to get into other areas of the economy. So, and technology is obviously a priority because it's where all the money seems to be these days. Hence this setting up of Aramco Digital and getting someone like Tarakim in to lead it. But Grok comes up. He's really interested in Grok because it's doing these chips that could be used in what we call AI inference, which we've probably talked about on this podcast and certainly other podcasts involving our colleagues Mike and Phil a few times. But this is the stage when these large language models have actually been fully trained, and all of that training happens in the hyperscaler facilities generally, and has been using these graphical processing units that NVIDIA produces. Once that's been done, the idea is that you can roll out AI applications much closer to the edge. You can take them out of those, you know, you can take the IT resources out of these hyperscaler facilities and put them into other parts of the other infrastructure, essentially, and maybe not rely on GPUs to do it, which are incredibly expensive. And so we see these alternatives emerging, which could include things like Google's TPUs. It could include Intel CPUs that have been modified and optimized a bit. I think Intel's talking a lot more about AI nowadays than it used to. And it could include technologies that are coming out of a bunch of startups that we're kind of hearing a little bit about. And Grok is one of them. And it was one of them that Tarek Amin brought up when I chatted to him last week. And they're, as I say, they're kind of on stage with Aramco this week in Saudi Arabia talking about some partnership that they're doing. But he's interested in it because what Aramco is doing is basically trying to develop AI type software applications. So they've come up with this operating system called Noor OS. Noor is an Arabic word meaning light. And the goal of that is to, I mean, basically get rid of the kind of visible applications that you might see in an enterprise environment. You could go in and you could sort of boot up your laptop and you could use a prompt to sort of say, I need to find out about holiday allowance, or I need to find out how many people there are at the company, or various other things, instead of having to rummage around various specific tools and go to specific apps to find something. And the AI would just sort of, you know, instantly know what you're after through a couple of prompts and find you the necessary information. And he's talking up Grok as something that will be interesting because they're all about, with their chips, which they call language processing units, they're all about inference, you know, deploying at the edge, trying to do things like cut latency, you know, so that you can get the latency down and you can make these real-time AI applications work much more effectively. And this is clearly why he's excited by it, not to mention the fact that it's probably a lot more economical to do it than through GPUs. So yeah, so that's kind of the gist of what they're doing. But mm-hmm. It's a little bit tangential to telecom, but it's fascinating nevertheless to me, I think.
Yeah. No, I think it fits in well, especially with the focus right now on, you know, everyone's focused on AI. Yeah. Is that kind of what you're describing with moving away from, you know, the GPUs to using the chips? Does that fit in under what Tariq was talking about in terms of AI infrastructure as a service?
Yes, totally. So that's basically what Aramco is trying to do. Aramco Digital is trying to do is be a AI, they call it an AI infrastructure as a service company. And the idea is that they take care of all the kind of heavy lifting for you. So if you're a company and you're trying to make use of AI, but you can't afford to buy GPUs and you don't know anything about it, and you don't want to make investments in other infrastructure that you need to do that, and you don't want to build your own operating system to do this kind of stuff, you go to Aramco and they kind of take all the pain away. So that it sounds like there's some kind of consulting work that goes with that, but they would also obtain access to these GPUs themselves, either through kind of perhaps partnerships that they have with hyperscalers in the region or by making investments. And they're in a position where they can make investments. I mean, they're kind of loaded with cash, so that's not really kind of an issue for them. And they kind of rent them out. They're not the only company I've heard talking about this, by the way. There's an interview I did with HPE's CEO, Antonio Neri, while I was in Barcelona as well. And he was talking about a similar thing, about this sort of idea of having GPUs in facilities and being able to kind of rent those on a pay-as-you-go basis to other companies, because they're really hard to get access to at the moment. I think, I mean, they've been snapped up by the hyperscalers and installed in these big data center facilities, and that has led to a shortage, but it's also driven up prices, and they're quite expensive anyway. So companies that might see an opportunity to use them for AI, I think access to them has been quite hard. And so Tarek, when I spoke to him, he was saying, if we can pursue that model, you know, maybe in combination with players like Grok, which is not doing the GPUs themselves, but certainly with Grok involved in a kind of relationship with Aramco through this AI infrastructure as a service model. But if they can do partnerships that make it easier for people to get access to AI resources, chips and other tools that you need, you could really kind of give a massive boost to the region. You could sort of bring, you know, you could bring a lot of countries in a region sort of forwards economically, I think, and help with this whole diversification mission. And it sounds like, I mean, he's throwing out some kind of crazy numbers about how much it could be worth between now and 2030. I think there's some third party research that puts it at over 100 billion. So it's pretty exciting stuff. I mean, he's a man who talks things up in a kind of impressive way. He's always full of big visions and big ideas. The whole thing about Rakuten was trying to transform the telecom industry and bring things like Open RAN and you know, cloud platforms into the market where they hadn't been used much before. And we're still not really seeing that happen to the extent that I think people were hoping it would a few years ago. But it's kind of fun to watch someone attempt these things. And I don't know, with Aramco, he's got such a big pool of money behind him. That's the thing. I mean, they're very, very serious about this, the Saudi Arabians. It's like a big kind of government mission to diversify the economy. So, it, you know, you've got to take it kind of seriously what they're attempting.
Do you think that it would, because, I mean, and NVIDIA has been kind of the big player in the game, it's, it seems like, would Grok be a potential competitor? I mean, I know they're still just a startup, or do you think it could potentially encourage other startups to go down this route? What do you think it means that someone like Grok has the backing of Aramco Digital?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great for them. And that's the way he was. He didn't sort of come out and say, we're going to be an investor in Grok, but he did say there are three or four startups. And he was specifically talking about sort of chip alternatives to GPUs that are really interesting and could have a massive impact on the world. And then he went on to talk about Grok at some length. So it's quite clear that he's viewing Grok as one of these exciting companies. I did an interview with Orange's CTO at Mobile World Congress as well. He's fairly newish in the job. He's got a guy called Bruno Zabib and worked in Silicon Valley for quite a long time. And he's said similar things. He sort of said it's not a great time necessarily at the moment to be investing in GPUs at the edge, because there are other things that might be coming down the pipeline from startups that we see that might be more economical and more suitable in that environment. Now, he didn't throw Grok's name in at all, but When I'd spoken to Tarek as well and sort of put the two together, you're kind of wondering if Grok's kind of sparked his interest. Because as I say, it's got this very high profile founder who was a guy at Google, and it's raised quite a bit in funding already from private sort of equity, as far as I can tell from looking at Crunchbase. So I don't think Grok wouldn't be competing with Aramco at all. I don't think Aramco's plan is to actually do chip development, but they would be prepared to invest in chip companies, I think, and they'd very much sort of see Grok as a partner for doing some of this stuff they're talking about. So the applications that he's exploring through this NOR OS system that need low latency and, you know, that need AI potentially to be deployed at the edge, you could see those maybe running on these LPUs that Grok's been trying to develop.
Yeah, I think all this is really interesting, and in light of the telecom industry trying to figure out how to generate revenue from AI, and this seems like a really prime example of, like you were talking about, taking the pain away from the customer and managing it for them and just making it all a bit simpler to deploy some of these AI workloads and applications. So I'm curious if some other, you know, service providers down the line will take a page out of their book and try this out as well.
Yeah, be interesting to see. The telcos themselves are, you know, they've talked about edge for a long time, and it's never really kind of gone the way that I think some of them were hoping. I mean, I think that a few years ago when I first got into light reading, the edge was like a really big topic, and people were saying, oh, it's our opportunity to maybe see some of the initiative from the hyperscalers, because those are facilities they didn't own. You know, you talk to people like Telefonica and they're like, oh, we've got hundreds of central offices throughout Spain that we could potentially use for edge computing, and the hyperscalers don't have that, and we can develop our own middleware platforms potentially, and you know, we're the guys who can sort of make the money there. And it hasn't really gone that way. It's actually gone with, if it's gone anywhere at all, the names that you hear thrown out are people like AWS with Outposts and that sort of thing, and they've done partnerships with the telcos, and then you're always kind of curious about the revenue share. And you know, obviously the developers will probably see AWS as the main company to have a relationship with rather than the telcos. So I think it's never quite gone the way they want it to. And AI is now almost like a second wave of it. And I think everybody's, you know, people are going to be wondering, can the telcos actually profit in this area or not? But there's potentially an opportunity there for sure. And it's obvious that CTOs are starting to think about it. So I'm guessing the CEOs and the financial types are as well.
Yeah. Super interesting. Thanks for bringing this to light and explaining it to us on What's the Story, and look forward to having you on again soon.
Great. Thanks, Kelsey.
Thank you so much, Ian, for taking the time to talk today. And thank you to our amazing producer, Pierre Landriot, for making this episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Light Reading Podcast for more interviews and insights from the team. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.